fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier. Hey, happy Thursday, the pre-Friday celebration. Greatest day of the entire week. If you know what I'm talking about, you see the light at the end of the tunnel, like we do by this time every single week. So wonderful to have you with us. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple stations, live TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen to us. It's so great to have you. Your millennial general reporting for duty, like we do every single day. Before we get into the program, bit of a programming note. This is wild, man. I don't know if we just got swatted or what. Andy, what do you mean? Like the swatting calls. Very strange. Not us, but other individuals. As you know, we broadcast all over the place, not just in Wichita, not just in Kansas, but we're all over the place on about six radio markets on this weekday program for the hour. And I was talking to our general manager here in the Wichita area just before we went on a little bit ago, and said that apparently there was an individual that was calling local businesses saying they're in the name of my flagship station here, KQAM, where I broadcast out of during the week, that there was somebody calling multiple businesses saying that they're from KQAM radio and then leaving some really nasty remarks and hanging up the phone. Now, I don't know why they would do that, other than either they may have a beef with the radio station and just don't like the programming, they don't like the conservative message, I don't know what that deal is, or whether it's just some random swatting call and some recorded thing just because people like to cause anarchy in society. But we've gotten apparently about three calls, three different businesses calling us saying, hey, wait a second, what the heck was that? And it wasn't us. So if you did get in the Wichita area, if you did get one of those calls, it wasn't us. And I promise that we're more professional than some of the remarks that I've heard about being reported to us, which is kind of strange. But I say that on this program because even though we broadcast outside of this area, be warned, local radio affiliation, wherever you may be in the area, that you may get nasty phone calls. And that's kind of weird. Why would people do that? I don't know, other than just cause anarchy, or they're so angry with the content, with the conservative talk message, that they want the stuff shut down. Because remember, the progressive, they're so open-minded and they're so open to be able to hear and accept different people's opinions and different people's thoughts, that they're so open-minded that if they don't like it and it's offensive to them, they have to find a way to shut it down because it's the worst thing on the face of the earth. So if that's you, we're on to you. And in fact, it actually backfired because now we have new contacts of being able to smooth that over and potentially get them on the air as potential sponsors and clients on the show. So thank you very much for that. I mean, I guess your idea, if that was your intent and purpose, it backfired on you. But how stupid. How stupid. People are ridiculous, man. There's such anger and hatred in the world today, which we saw pretty evident with ongoing protests right now across the nation with some anti-Semitic remarks. Again, I have never in my life seen so much anti-Semitism than I have in the last few months, in the last year, essentially, with this ongoing conflict with Israel and with Hamas and with Iran now and with all the other garbage going on in the Middle East. I've never in my lifetime seen so much anti-Semitism so open. And it's from, obviously, the other side of the aisle, which we always knew that bigotry and racism and hatred and anti-Semitism were all coming from the left. Because guess what? This may be a shocker to the other side of the aisle again, but anti-Semitism, Nazism, and fascism is a left-wing agenda.
I know.
Now, that's coming at a time when the Democrats are calling Donald Trump racist, and they're calling him a Nazi, they're calling him the authoritarian, calling him a fascist, and so on and so forth. So I just find it ironic that the ones that are calling Republicans and Donald Trump the Nazis and the fascists are the ones out protesting from the river to the sea, wanting the destruction of Israel, wanting the destruction of the Jewish communities, and wanting the Muslim community to completely take over the entire region. That's from that side. So the irony is just beautiful, and it's fun to watch. All right, coming up bottom of the hour, we have Richard Lyons on the program. He's an author of many books, including The DNA of Democracy and the Shadows of the Acropolis. We've had him on the show a few times. Looking forward to chatting with him about the latest out of Washington, D.C., which now apparently the gauntlet has been laid down on our latest in what's trending.
What's going on in this world of mine? There's a whole lot of killing in this world of mine. Somebody's got to help this world of mine.
Now, I'm just going to say this right now, that the bills that are being discussed in D.C., which there are a lot of them, there are apparently four different foreign policy bills being discussed that will be voted on in the next few days, majoritively, I guess, on Saturday, it sounds like. There is the bill that could potentially forcefully remove TikTok from being owned by ByteDance or the Chinese government, which I don't know how we can do that to a private entity that's a foreign-based company, but that bill's coming up on the House floor as well, along with an immigration bill and some other things. And when we talk about specifically, let's say, the foreign policy bills being broken up into numerous different bills, I'm coming to the assumption that we have just, as Republicans and as conservatives, as Mike Johnson, who I've been a fan of since he took the leadership of the Speaker of the House, but now starting to waver a little bit, I guess. He is, but the question is, how much is reasonable because of only having a one-vote majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives, and how much of it is a principled thing where he's willing to just stick to his guns on this one? Sitting on CNN just earlier and talking about what they're working on, breaking up this foreign policy bill to not have Ukrainian and Israeli funding all together in one lump sum package, but actually doing it in separate ways.
This is a better policy and a better process, okay? We got the Senate supplemental several weeks back, and it was everything sandwiched together. That's not the way that regular order is supposed to work. And many of my my conservative friends, some that you just pictured there, are some of the most vocal advocates for the regular process of the House. And that means that we look at things in single subject. We look at them individually on their own merits. And so I made the decision that we should break this into four parts so that you evaluate Israel and Ukraine and the Indo-Pacific funding measures, and then our separate national and foreign aid responsibilities separately. So there's four separate bills.
Okay, I want to stop that right there. And I have to tell him that I agree with what he's doing, and he's actually been pretty smart on this front. For the first time since really the Barack Obama administration and prior to that, we actually have a federal budget. Now, we may be 6 months into the fiscal year for the federal budget, but we have a federal budget, largely because Mike Johnson did not do a one lump sum omnibus package with all 12 appropriation bills into one individual thing and then voting yay or nay on it to pass it to see what's in it, in the wise words of Nancy Pelosi. He broke those up into two separate times. It was very foreign when we did the continuing resolution back in November before the holidays, and we did a two-tiered deadline for when certain things would end. Never really been done before. And Mike Johnson did that because he wanted the individual time to talk about individual bills and then do it in sections so that way it's not as hard. Remember, when we're talking about Washington, D.C., we're essentially talking about children, and you have to do things in fragmented sections or else they get overwhelmed, and then we don't get all the details, and then the media lies about it, and then we have this up-down vote on simple things, and then we don't know what's actually in the bill, and it's a complete anarchy up in Washington. So I have to get the budget bill and now with this foreign policy, because Marjorie Taylor Greene's right. And she was one of the biggest advocates and vocal advocates against this, saying that, hey, we're not going to do this one lump sum thing. We're supposed to do this individually on the House floor. So Mike Johnson said, fine, that's cool. Let's break it up into four separate foreign policy bills, one for Ukraine, one for Israel, one for this, one for that, one for individually, so we can debate these at each separate times before we move forward with them. And I think that's a very smart way to do it. So I commend you for that, Mike Johnson, for going about it in this manner.
Everyone will be able to give it an up or down vote based on their own merits, and that's what they desire. Now, listen, we made a better product as well, because there is Ukraine, as you know, is controversial. What we did, Jake, in this package, we changed it. 80% of the spending for Ukraine is replenishment of American weapons and stocks. That's a really important thing for our own U.S. industrial base and defense base, and that's going to be a very important part of it. And we added other innovations that conservatives like and that make good sense. I mean, for the Ukraine piece, for example, any assistance that goes for governmental aid is converted to a loan. That's what a lot of people said was very important, and we implemented that. You know, there's a lot of innovations here, and I think it's a better product in the end.
All right, so that was Speaker Mike Johnson. He was on CNN talking with Jake Tapper. Why he went on CNN, I don't know. I mean, they at least got five people watching now on CNN because of him actually showing up and doing that. But overall, with what Mike Johnson has broken down here, obviously we don't know a lot of the details because the bills aren't finalized yet. Amendments still being proposed to them. The vote will happen on Saturday this weekend. That overall, that sounds like a good deal. If 80% of the funding, and I say funding in air quotes, is not actual money going to them for them to whitewash and do whatever they want to with it, but actually use as resources, guns and ammunition and so on and so forth, then you know what? I'm okay with that. They're still an ally. I get that we need to help them out in some way. We've helped them out a lot, so that's why we're starting to push back a little bit and saying, wait a second, maybe we shouldn't just keep open-endedly doing this. But if 80% of it is actually going towards resources, we know exactly what they're going to use with those resources. If they're using for governmental purposes, it's going to be a loan as opposed to an actual just a grant giving money out. I understand that we have to do something on that front. It makes sense. There's a principle of the matter, however, because I can hear it. I can hear some people saying, Andy, wait a second. What are you doing? There's a principle to the matter here that beyond even if it's the best bill we could possibly write, that we still have not considered. And that's the fact that I reiterate before that the Republicans, led by Speaker Mike Johnson, made the promise that we would not touch Ukrainian funding at all until we did something with some type of immigration bill. And just because we failed on doing an immigration bill a couple of months ago does not mean that we just give up the issue. We still promise the American people that we have a massive migration problem and a crisis on our southern border, that we need to address this, and that we can't just be like, well, we tried. We gave it a shot. I guess we're going to be done. All right, let's move on and let's go ahead and give Ukrainian funding, which is what the Democrats really want. I understand we need to help Ukraine, but we made a promise as Republicans and conservatives. Even with a one-vote majority in the House of Representatives, we made a promise that we would not do Ukrainian funding until we did immigration. And right now it sounds like we've just kind of given up on that promise. So we're giving Democrats, even if it's not open-ended like what they want, we're putting some barriers on it. We're still giving Democrats what they want, although it may not be perfect for them. We're still giving it to them while we haven't gotten what we needed and what we said we were going to work on. That's a major issue. Now, there is an immigration bill that's being discussed. But who's to say that that's not going to pass while the Ukrainian funding is going to pass? Because immigration obviously is a major issue and a major complicated thing that we need to continue to work on. Now, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, a Republican, said that she is trying to propose an immigration amendment into this Ukrainian funding bill.
I submitted 11 amendments within the last 24 hours that address border security, that address Ukraine funding, et cetera, in those bills that we're going to be voting on Saturday. It's really important that, number one, these amendments that all of us are putting on are germane to the bill so they can pass out of the Rules Committee, because it's one thing to file an amendment. We've got to make sure that it's related to the bill or it never goes forward.
If that's the case, then immigration probably won't be able to make it. If it's a standalone, separate foreign policy bill like Mike Johnson has separated for not just Israel, but for Ukraine, but separating all the foreign policy instead of just one category of Ukraine and Israel and this and that and the other, they're separating those into individual bills as well, then more than likely an immigration bill will not be attached to something like that one. Marjorie Taylor Greene, on the other hand, did propose an amendment that said that anybody that votes yay to fund Ukraine at all is required to sign up for the Ukrainian military and actually serve in the military. Obviously a tongue-in-cheek thing. The media lost their minds on that one. They didn't like it. It's hilarious, though, and it really drives home the point that is your priority and focus on Ukraine, or is it focused on here in the United States? What are your priorities, Washington, D.C.?
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
I submitted 11 amendments within the last 24 hours that address border security, that address Ukraine funding, et cetera, in those bills that we're going to be voting on Saturday. It's really important that, number one, these amendments that all of us are putting on are germane to the bill so they can pass out of the Rules Committee, because it's one thing to file an amendment. We've got to make sure that it's related to the bill or it never goes forward. And so we've been working really hard to put some common sense measures in there. Like, there's a loophole in there now that would allow the president to forgo and forgive any loan that we give to Ukraine. Well, I want to strike that provision. If it's going to be a loan, let's make it so. And so looking at very common sense measures, I did an amendment to have some paid fors by rescinding IRS funding, IRS spending to help pay for the Ukraine bill. So just common sense, because this thing is moving forward and we want to make sure that we have people at the table that can make it a better bill when we vote on it on Saturday.
So that was Congresswoman Nancy Mace on Newsmax earlier talking about some of the amendments that she's put up, near 11 of them. Can you imagine why in the world would we put that there in the first place? This is the ridiculousness they try to slip in. Did you catch it? Did you catch what they tried to slip in there? That it's going to be a loan for Ukraine if we give the money to them, but there's a line in there that allows the president to forgive that loan. I'm sorry, the president's busy doing student loan forgiveness in the United States. He doesn't have time to do it for Ukraine either. Just imagine that. Well, apparently the president, he really loves those. He loves those little initiatives, and the Democrats, I'm sure, slipped it in there like that. Like, hey, he's on a roll right now, man. He's been busy. He actually took his steroids lately, and he's been able to do this student loan sign-off and this student loan forgiveness and this student loan forgiveness. Might as well include it in Ukraine as well. So we'll call it a loan, hint, hint, wink, wink, if you know what I mean. But the president will have the ability to sign off and just forgive that loan. If he so chooses to do, which you know he would do too. You know he would, because that's what he does, because he's there to help out Volodymyr Zelensky, to help out Ukraine. So they have to propose a change in the document or in the bill to actually rid that line. So that way it's a loan, it's a loan, it's a loan. Now, it doesn't mean that the president still wouldn't try to forgive that loan if he had the opportunity, which you know he probably would. That would be his last great savior before the election time as well. We're going to try and win over the Ukrainian voters in the country by forgiving the loan to Volodymyr Zelensky. So that way we can fight off the Russians, because we're actually defending democracy over there, even though we don't defend democracy over here. But that's what he would try to do. That would be his entire message. The fact that we even have to propose that change just shows what this bill looks like. It's good, and I'm glad. Here's the thing. I'm glad that Mike Johnson split these bills up, because now we have time to debate them. We have time to discuss them. We have time to look at what they're all about. And we can make these changes, because if they were all lump sum into one massive bill, then you know that they would slip under the radar and that we wouldn't be able to do anything about it. You know that would happen. So the fact that we're breaking it up is good. There's still the premise, though, what are we going to do about issues here in the United States? There is a massive uprising of people that are upset. In fact, right now, while we're focused on what's going on in the Ukraine, crime rates here in the United States have skyrocketed, obviously, with the near 8 to 10 million illegal migrants that have come across the border. And even in the state of California, there's now 900,000 signatures that have been put together by a coalition to actually force the California government to get quote-unquote tough on crime. Now, that's a government that just laughs it off and, yeah, there's no real issue here. And, yeah, we just changed the definition of what a crime is to where there's not as many crimes going on. But that doesn't bode well for the voter and for the actual consumer and for the American public in general. So the coalition's gaining some momentum in California. We still have the immigration crisis that Republicans promised that we would address before we did Ukrainian funding that we're not addressing. We have some serious issues here, and this is what our government's focus on, is the funding for Ukraine and then trying to force a private company out of China with TikTok to forcefully sell, because we don't want them here either. It's very strange. While we pass FISA, by the way, hey, government in China, we don't want you to monitor our intel, but we're going to pass our FISA warrants to where we can monitor you, the American people, without any warrant as well, because we're totally on the good side here, right? Yeah.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. So great to have you along for the ride. On a pre-Friday celebration, we're set up for a big weekend, so get ready, strap in, buckle up, and have some fun, because it's going to be a wild ride for today, tomorrow, and the votes on Saturday. Multiple different bills going out of Washington, D.C. for sure. I want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. Are you getting tired of some of the woke companies that are working to destroy and strip us of our freedoms? Because you know what's happening. We talk about big pharma, we talk about these big corporations. Well, big mobile is the same thing. They're no exception either. And we should be calling them as big of a woke company as possible. If you fund some of these cell phone companies, then they're advocating for the ESG. They're advocating for some of the censorship. They're advocating for a lot of the control that we're seeing by funding a lot of these things, having diversity and equity individual. I don't know. Maybe the radio frequencies have, or the cell phone frequency, I guess. Maybe they have some type of equity and inclusion frequency for you when you talk on your cell phone. So if you talk to somebody that's involved in equity, diversity, and inclusion, then all of a sudden you get a better signal strength or something. I'm not sure how it works, but that's apparently why they need to have some type of marketing director that's part of the equity, diversity, and inclusion from some of these woke companies. That's what Big Mobile does, as they give tens of millions of dollars every year to organizations that are trying to take away your very freedoms that we work so hard to defend. But I have some good news for you. You have a choice in the matter. And that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values, or they offer the best nationwide 4G and 5G coverage. They use all the different network towers and are exceptional with 100% U.S.-based customer support. They also donate, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, donate portions of every dollar earned to conservative organizations that help fight for our freedoms, including Second Amendment groups, First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and so many more. Kind of amazing. This year, they'll be giving more than $1.5 million to conservative causes, and with your help, they aim to double that for next year as well. The time's now where our votes are no longer just enough to go out and vote, but we must stand together and support other like-minded companies that share our values, beliefs, and values. And your cell phone is one way that you can do that. All you got to do, you're not doing anything else. Your same money, it's just going to a different place that actually supports the same values that you have. And you can do that by making America great again with Patriot Mobile. They offer discounts for veterans and first responders. They have NRA members and families with multiple lines. You can get discounts for all of these things. And you can do so with my code, which is Reason. Go to patriotmobile.com/reason and you can get your free activation. You can also get all the great other discounts for being a first responder or NRA member or just having a large family with multiple lines. You can get all those different discounts. Use the promo code Reason. That's patriotmobile.com/reason. Support Patriot Mobile. Great partners with us here on The Voice of Reason. All right. So we have these major votes going on in Washington, D.C. We have crime rates that are spiking through the roof here in the nation. We have a coalition that is trying to put tough on crime in the state of California. Then we have the progressives that just don't care. And again, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, I've never seen in my life, never seen so much anti-Semitism. Vocal, verbal, outspoken, public, where they actively go out there and say, yeah, we should destroy Israel. The hell with those guys. The hell with those Jewish communities. We want Palestine to run rampant and be free, because they were totally free before this conflict when Israel so brutally came in and stomped into their ground and started taking over their land. If that's what they believe, they are the most absurd, ignorant people I've ever met in my entire life, to the point, though, where they're getting a little violent. And we get it, emotion, fear, anger, they're very strong emotions. And you can see some backlash and outlash when that begins to happen, which is what we're seeing now, even to the point where the daughter of Ilhan Omar apparently has been suspended from college for being part of these very activist and very violent anti-Semitic protests that are happening across the nation. Right? So that's taken things up to another level for the Democrats. And do you think that she's going to speak out against her daughter? Of course not. In fact, there has been a vote to silence and at least stop some of the rhetoric in Washington, D.C. for using the phrase from the river to the sea. And that vote got four nays on the bill from the House. Can you imagine who they were from? To ban the phrase from the river to the sea and to say that that is hateful rhetoric against the Jewish community as anti-Semitic. Can you imagine who voted, the four that voted against that type of bill? That would be the B Squad, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That would be Ilhan Omar. That would be Rashida Tlaib. That would be whatever the fourth one is. I don't even remember. Doesn't really matter. They voted against something like that because they don't want that type of restraint on what they can do. They were the same ones that put the Palestinian flag outside of their office, which, I'm sorry, I thought they were elected officials in the United States. But they were supporting an enemy to the United States as an elected official, going in spite of our ally, which is Israel. And I'm telling you, the Democrats are going to lose both votes, both the Jewish and the Muslim votes, going into November because they don't know what to do with either one of them now. Things have escalated so bad that it's forced their hands that by force, by our law, we have to support our ally, which is Israel, especially with the now drones and the taunting coming from Iran now. As they did it again, too. There's a headline on Drudge Report I saw that where they're taunting Israel, trying to say, hey, come and get us. Come on. Come on and do it. Knowing this is going to cause a bigger conflict. And knowing, like the spoiled brats that they are, the children that have gotten everything in the participation trophy world that we live in today, the nation of Iran, knowing that they can taunt and do whatever they want. They can shoot missiles, they can shoot drones, they can shoot whatever, and they won't have any repercussions against them. No slap on the wrist, no nothing. It'll be like the parent that's like, hey, calm down now. You know, that doesn't look up from their tablet or their phone while they're sitting at the airport and their kids, you know, throwing the ball or they're doing something obnoxious and they're not supposed to be doing it. And people are getting annoyed around them. And the parent, instead of stopping what they're doing and punishing their child, they just kind of pat them on the head and be like, okay, don't do that anymore. Not even looking at them, just looking at their phone. You ever seen those? You ever seen those parents that do that sort of garbage? Yeah. Yeah, it happens kind of quite often. And because they're not parents, they just don't care. They're involved in their own world and their kids are just doing whatever. It's the participation trophy, the parent that, or the child that runs the family and the household. And that's what Iran's doing right now because the United States obviously isn't doing anything. According to the Biden administration, they've told Israel that they're not allowed to respond in like, and that we're not going to respond in like. We'll defend you. We'll give you resources to keep actually using your Iron Dome, but we're not going to do anything to actually defend you and go on the offense here. And I get it. It's a global conflict. We don't want to start World War III, but Iran's asking for it. They're poking the bear. Pushing the button, pushing the button, pushing the button until suddenly we just explode and we can't hold it any longer. And that's not going to be a good scenario for any of us. Then we have the United Nations. And can someone please raise their hand and tell me what the use of the United Nations is and what their purpose is? Because I thought it was to keep global peace so we wouldn't have a world war. Where is the slap on the wrist on Iran from the United Nations? We're going to put sanctions on them. Okay. What kind of sanctions? We're going to make sure they don't have nuclear weapons. Okay. Sure. You go ahead with that and see how well that worked out. The United States was what created the Iranian deal before under, oh, by the way, that was former President Donald Trump, right? That was Donald Trump that did that.
That's right. Donald Trump did that.
Yeah, but then we ended up reversing it because Biden said it wasn't a good deal, so he reversed the Iranian nuclear deal, and that where we went back to the sanctions that was under the Barack Obama reign when they were still doing whatever they wanted to. The UN would check in and be like, hey, you building some nukes? They're like, nope, okay, good, have a good day, see you later, and just in passing. That's what we went back to. Donald Trump kind of tightened it up a little bit, and Joe Biden ended up reversing that, putting it back to the previous Donald Trump policies when Barack Obama was still in power. So now they're gaining power. They've gotten their steam. And with them continuously shooting drones and missiles and everything of the sorts, we're not doing anything at all. In fact, now we're just passing initiatives and we have a bill presented to where we want to fund Ukraine. And what we're going to do? Well, we're going to stop Russia. What are we going to do about Russia? Well, according to the latest bill as well that will be voted on potentially on Saturday in the House of Representatives, one of the foreign policy bills would be to starting to take assets away from Russia. Yeah, you heard that right. We're going to take assets away from Russia. Now, I don't know exactly what those assets may or may not be, but we're going to take assets away from Russia so that way they don't have the leverage that they do right now. I don't know where we get off thinking that we can do that. Are we starting a conflict or are we not starting a conflict? It seems to me that the United States government, and I'm not talking about the symbol of America, I'm not talking about what we stand for as a nation, I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking strictly about what we feel is a role of our federal government in our influence and foreign policy, that we want to strip assets away from Russia. We want to try and forcefully sell off a private company like TikTok away from ByteDance, which they believe is part of the Chinese government, and they feel that we have the credibility to do so. And I don't know where the federal government gets that idea that we can bully these other nations into doing something on their own. Now, do we want other nations to do something that benefits us in our best interest? Of course we do. That's what we do. That's what nations do. But to tell them how to operate is kind of weird. That's kind of an interesting stance for our federal government to take. And I don't know if we're legally, constitutionally, or even United Nations law allowed to do something like that. But the United Nations is useless and not going to do anything about it anyways. So where does this all fall? This falls on the hands of conservatives, which leads to the conversation between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Mike Johnson, and the conservatives putting up the wall against Mike Johnson while he's doing it in the proper manner. Have we forgotten and have we caved in on the principles that we promised as conservatives to handle going into an election year? And does that make us look even more broken than what we have been in the past? It's a concern because we just have more Republicans walking away, not wanting to be reelected, not wanting to go back up to Washington, D.C., and some of them even relatively conservative. There's a headline here locally that here in the state of Kansas, one of our congressmen, Jake LaTurner, said he will not be running for reelection. A pretty solid, pretty stable Republican vote. If that's the case, what kind of turmoil are we throwing ourselves into in an election year when the Republican Party's still pretty divided with Donald Trump at the head of the ticket? We got a lot of work to do on all fronts, and it starts with the failures of Joe Biden we're still trying to overcome.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, done right. It is reason, common sense, rationale. That's just what we do here on this program on this pre-Friday celebration. So great to have you along for the ride. A lot of things in D.C., but it's a wild world out there. A wild, crazy world. And we see a lot of anger, hatred, violence, and it's nuts. By the way, the argument, I was on a conversation on social media throughout the day a little bit. Argue much. I do like to poke the bear every once in a while. And after a couple of elected officials had tagged our Facebook page about being on here and played some of the clips of the show, there was obviously the haters and the naysayers from the other side of the aisle that was just heckling them. So in kind, I just had to respond because that's what we do on the show, which is pretty hilarious. And there were a couple that were angry about the January 6th issues because obviously Donald Trump should not be fit to be president again because he led some riots or insurrection when they obviously haven't filed the issue whatsoever. And in fact, there was a committee hearing just in the last day or so from the D.C. National Guard Command Sergeant Major Michael Brooks, who was in front of a committee that said that they were just prepared and ready for a call when everything started happening on January 6th.
Prior to the protests following the murder of George Floyd in May of 2020, I do not believe any of them understood just how unique the D.C. National Guard is, and the responsibility that is delegated from the President to the Secretary of Defense and further delegated to the Secretary of the Army. I believe it is this lack of understanding that led to the significant delays in the military response on January 6th. I will not sit here today and say if we had been given authority to immediately respond when Chief Sun, the Chief of the Capitol Police, made that first frantic call for support at 1:49 p.m., that we would have prevented the breach of the Capitol. What I can tell you with absolute certainty is that we had a force equipped and ready to respond. And that despite the inaccuracies of the DODIG report, we had a plan and would have liked the opportunity to try. Instead, we waited for hours, less than 2 miles east of the Capitol, knowing our Capitol had been breached and not understanding why we had not received the authorization to respond.
I mean, makes sense to me, right? If the National Guard was ready, and Donald Trump had, by the way, tried to prepare and was ready for whatever may happen because of the protests that were happening just days before even the rally ended up happening, but yet Nancy Pelosi didn't call. Nobody called. Nobody called. Nobody. Hey, there's an issue down here. We need to make this happen. Nobody made that phone call. So doesn't that by default kind of negate the idea that there was some kind of massive takeover, that there was some kind of massive insurrection, that we didn't know what to do? There was absolute paranoia. They were looking to try and scalp people in the Capitol or whatever the hell they tried to make claims of. Like, doesn't that negate? Wouldn't you call the local authorities that were prepared and ready to go and were monitoring the situation? You're like, nah, we got it. We're good. We're good. Stay back. Don't do your thing. One of the comments about the arguments on social media was, you know, the court system that obviously is running completely smooth. And feel what you want to about January 6th, whether it was right, whether it was wrong. Obviously, a lot of people did some not so good stuff, but it was the mostly peaceful protest that we like to say here on the program, with the few that actually did something wrong. And for those that did wrong, that actually did vandalize something and shatter the windows or climb the walls or do whatever garbage that they were doing, yeah. Did they need to be punished for vandalism? Absolutely. Did they need to be punished for vandalism of a government building? Absolutely. But for the intrusion part, that's kind of a wishy-washy kind of area. Not to mention the fact that those are sitting in jail right now that are being charged without anything right now from the federal government, have been sitting in jail for years with no official criminal charge against them, which I thought could be wrong on this. I'm not a legal expert. Maybe you can fill me in on this one. But I thought that that was a violation of someone's due process of not having a formal charge against them while sitting in a federal prison for, they don't know exactly what that law or what that rule may be that they violated, because there's no formal charges on that. The Supreme Court hearing that one right now and apparently being relatively conflicted on that, on what the prosecutors can do to these January 6ers that are sitting in jail. Now, the Supreme Court, as you know, has been making some pretty astonishing decisions as of lately, including some backhanded slaps against the Biden administration that Democrats aren't liking. So add that to the list of what they want to reform, because it's not going their way. But this year, I think between the foreign policy that we talked about, what Washington, D.C. is doing, the elected officials that are refusing to run for office again and actually jump back into the race, that are just dropping out like wild cards right now, and the decisions from the Supreme Court, this is a monumental year right now. And as wild as this may seem, we're just getting started. We're just getting started. We have so much more to do, and there will be bombshells and mic drops even more going on throughout this year as things continue to heat up. But even now, it's kind of wild. We thought that 2020 was wild. We thought that 2021 and 2022 and 2023 were crazy. 2024 is already sitting here and saying, hold my beer. Watch this. And we have to be on our toes for it, which is what we're going to do here on the program. So stay tuned in. It's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, back at it again tomorrow for a Friday. It's time for you to speak up, speak out, speak loud, speak proud, speak the truth, and always speak some reason. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.